From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. City and Borough of Juneau's avalanche forecaster says the urban avalanche risk is rising to high levels today. Significant rain and snow, warmer temperatures, and high winds are contributing to risk of avalanches off Mount Juneau. City Emergency Programs Manager Tom Matisse regularly posts urban avalanche advisories on the city's website with details and resources. In today's advisory, Matisse advises avoiding the area above the gates in the Barrens neighborhood and the Flume Trail. Thane Road is also prone to avalanches from Mount Roberts. State transportation officials put out an alert about increasing risk there this afternoon. They advise not stopping or parking in the avalanche danger zone. Thane residents should be prepared for extended road closures. And this just in, state transportation officials just announced they're closing Thane Road to non-emergency traffic at 5 p.m. today due to extremely high avalanche hazard. The risk is expected to remain high overnight. The state plans to update the road status at 8 a.m. Friday. Updates will be posted to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Facebook page. Governor Mike Dunleavy renewed his position this week on one of his signature issues, paying back the amount cut from the last few years' permanent fund dividends.
My goal is to pay a full PFD and to go back and make sure that Alaskans get the PFD that was also cut.
But as Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports, the proposal faces skepticism in the legislature.
A bill introduced at Governor Dunleavy's request on Wednesday would pay out $1,300 to every eligible Alaskan. That's the difference between what would be paid under the dividend formula in a 1982 state law and how much the state actually paid in PFDs last October. This is on top of last year's request to pay back PFD amounts cut in 2016, 17, and 18. Altogether, today's bill combined with last year's would spend roughly $3 billion from the permanent fund's earnings reserve. That's nearly a third of all the money scheduled to be left in the reserve by June. Dunleavy says he understands there's concern about spending down the earnings reserve, but he says the state should follow the law.
So what this language in this bill does is merely once again follow the statutes on the books, the laws on the books.
Lawmakers have proposed changing the dividend formula, and Dunleavy says he wants to engage in discussions about what the PFD will be in the future. But he says that doesn't change what residents should receive under the current law.
The money is sitting there. The statutes are there. We're merely saying, bring the money together with the statutes and let's follow the statutes.
Last year's bill to pay back the three previous years of PFD cuts hasn't been passed by either chamber. And even some staunch defenders of Dunleavy aren't enthusiastic about the payback idea at this point. Anchorage Republican Representative Lance Pruitt leads the House Minority Caucus. Last week he said, speaking for himself, that Alaskans are looking forward and that paying the money back now wouldn't make up for any boost to the state's economy that would have happened with full dividends during the recession.
Here we are 4 years into it, and the economic benefit that would have come 4 years ago would not be seen today. I mean, we're 4 years past that.
Pruitt says removing more money from the earnings reserve wouldn't serve the state in the long term.
Most Alaskans have come to the idea of, you know, whatever happened then, and what are we doing about today?
Leadership in both chambers deeply resists the idea of depleting the permanent fund earnings. They note drawing more from permanent fund earnings would violate a state law that limits the annual draw to roughly 5% of the fund's overall value. Dillingham Independent House Speaker Bryce Edgman says the legislature has already dipped into savings the past 2 years in order to pay $1,600 dividends.
And most of us, support as big as PFDs we possibly can get. But at the same time, the question about how to pay for it is one that's going to land at the doorstep of the legislature before too long. And we're going to have to really figure something out.
Anchorage Republican Senate President Kathy Geisel says every senator supports paying dividends.
But we are not the federal government. We cannot print money. We have a limited amount of money. We have services that are critically needed. We have education that is mandated in our Constitution to be supplied by government. We will do what we can, but we are not going to put this state into a precarious financial position.
And Fairbanks Republican Senator Click Bishop says spending down the permanent fund earnings threatens the state's future. He says the fund was intended to serve future generations using a wellspring that served past and current generations, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System, or TAPS.
I had a good run in my working career in Alaska. Caught TAPS at the beginning. We've all reaped a benefit of TAPS and what oil royalties have done for the state of Alaska. I want to protect the future for my children, grandchildren, and future generations of Alaskans.
The House and Senate versions of the new bill were referred to the finance committees in each chamber. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Service by the state ferry Matanuska may not resume in early March because repairs to the fleet's sole operating mainliner have yet to begin. Matanuska broke down last month, stranding hundreds of passengers, and hasn't made the trip to the shipyard for repairs. KFSK's Joe Vicnicki reports.
Transportation officials had said the Matanuska was projected to return to service in early March, but the ship remains tied up in Juneau, and now reservations are being canceled.
We got a call from the Petersburg terminal with a change or cancellation notice of two sailings in March.
That's travel agent Dave Berg, co-owner of Viking Travel in Petersburg.
And we were advised at that point that there was nothing to book them on. Until perhaps the Columbia comes online in mid-April.
Berg has been in the travel business for almost 40 years. He says mechanical breakdowns and cancellations of individual sailings have long been common.
But in this instance, there's not another vessel that is ready. This is certainly nothing like we've ever seen before.
The ferry Taslina is slated to return to service for sailings in Upper Lynn Canal, but without a mainliner ferry, communities like Petersburg, Wrangell, and Sitka join other coastal communities without service. Top state officials insist they're working to get one of the few remaining ferries in the Alaska Marine Highway fixed, but the ship has been tied up in Juneau's Auk Bay for about 3 weeks since a recently installed reduction gear failed. Department of Transportation Commissioner John McKinnon told reporters Wednesday that there's finger-pointing between Vigor Alaska's shipyard and the manufacturer of the defective equipment.
You know, we've got to be careful of our involvement in it because there's warranty issues, and if we get too involved, we can void warranties, and that could be a very expensive thing. Vigor is dealing with the manufacturer who is in Sweden. On the other side of the world, 12 hours away, that's another issue.
Calls to shipyard company Vigor were not returned Thursday. Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy added Wednesday his administration is committed to getting the Matanuska back up and running, no matter who's ultimately responsible.
We're pushing them to get this thing repaired and fixed, and we're not going to accept excuses that they're squabbling as our people are waiting for transportation. So we're going to keep putting the screws to these outfits that were supposed to make sure that these ships were in condition.
The Matanuska reentered service late last year following a $41 million overhaul that included new engines. With help from Jacob Resnick in Juneau, in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
A spreading virus is keeping Chinese travelers at home, leading to hundreds of cancellations during the peak of Alaska's winter tourism season. Anchorage Daily News reported about 500 travelers have canceled February itineraries with a travel agency that caters solely to Chinese tourists. Hotels, dog mushing businesses, and Aurora Borealis tour operators have also reported losing business because of the new illness that emerged in central China. The Alaska Travel Industry Association says the number of Chinese visitors to the state has grown more than 70% since 2013. Alaska had no recorded cases of the virus as of mid-February. Related news, two American citizens with the novel coronavirus were transferred to Spokane's Providence Sacred Heart Medical Center this morning, and two more were expected this afternoon. The patients' identities are unknown, as is the severity of the infection. The patients were transferred from Travis Air Force Base in California and are part of repatriation efforts, meaning they contracted the virus outside of the country. Spokane's health officer, Bob Lutz, says their arrival shouldn't worry the city's residents.
There is no risk to the residents of Spokane County by bringing these individuals into our community for care. In general, however, the risk to the general public of the novel coronavirus, or COVID-19, remains very low.
The downtown Spokane Hospital was chosen because of its specialized pathogen unit, which opened in 2017. The unit can treat up to 10 people with highly infectious disease. Peg Currie, the hospital CEO, says the arrival of the coronavirus patients marks the first time the unit's been used.
I'm here to tell you that we are very confident. The staff's very competent. We are well prepared to deal with this particular situation here with the new coronavirus. I'm confident in our team members. I'm confident in our physician providers that we have the ability to safely care for these patients as well as our community.
Sacred Heart is one of only 10 specialized pathogen units in the nation, but it's the only one in the Northwest. Only one similar pathogen unit in Omaha is known to have received similar patients. The commissioner of Alaska's Department of Administration says the state is pursuing an expansion location for motor vehicle services in Southwest Alaska. This comes ahead of a fall deadline for real IDs, special licenses many will need to board commercial flights in the U.S. And finally, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, starting Friday morning, will conduct its fourth survey of moose in the Anchorage area with the help of citizen scientists. The three-day survey relies on citizens to call or text in sightings of moose. Biologists and technicians take citizen reports, drive out to neighborhoods, and take DNA samples with specialized darts. The darts lightly prick the moose, collect a skin sample, and fall to the ground. Researchers use the DNA to identify how the moose are related and to calculate the ratio of bulls to cows. The samples also contribute to a database that identifies individual moose. Latest weather conditions at Juneau International Airport, 35 degrees, light snow, fog, mist, and windy. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Thursday, February 20th, 2020. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.